فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. In the beginning verses of Surah Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala makes mention with regards to the position of the Qur'an Majeed. Allah Ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that this is a kitab, a lofty kitab, in which there is no doubt. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, which has been sent as a means of guidance for those who want to obtain taqwa, for those who want to obtain closeness to Allah Ta'ala. But together with this, we also understand that in order for the Qur'an Majeed to be a means of guidance for one, it will not be possible for one to understand, to comprehend, to derive guidance from the Qur'an Majeed without going through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hence, together with Kitabullah, together with the book of Allah Ta'ala being a means of guidance, Allah Ta'ala also through His compassion, through His mercy, sent to us Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show us what is guidance, to show us how to live guidance, to show us how to take guidance from the Qur'an Majeed. So together with the word of Allah Ta'ala being the Qur'an Majeed, we have to take reliance upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ahadith. And from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many, many ahadith. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah, he makes mention to his son Hammad on one occasion. He was giving him different advices. And he tells him from amongst those advices that I have learned from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 500,000. Now these great numbers, 500,000, 600,000, 1 million, if not more, if not less. We will hear these ahadith being memorized from these great fuqaha and muhaddithin of the past. They had dedicated their lives to memorizing, to learning the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and extracting the relevant laws and masail that come out from these beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he tells his son Hamad that from 500,000 ahadith that I have collected, I have chosen 5 ahadith. And if you had to hold firm and dedicate yourself to these 5 ahadith, these will be sufficient for you. Meaning these 5 ahadith are so comprehensive in its meaning, so comprehensive in giving guidance to humanity, that these 5 ahadith, so to say, can encapsulate your entire deen. The first hadith, he says, is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking about intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِإِمْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَ حِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ حِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ كَمَا قَالَ. He says the first hadith is that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that actions are judged according to intention. Actions are judged according to intention. A person will get that much of thawab and reward according to his intention. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives the example of hijrah, to migrate for the sake of Allah, to leave your land, your homeland, to leave, for example, Sahaba had left Makkah Mukarramah, they left everything behind, they left their family, they left their businesses, they left the beautiful land of Makkah Mukarramah, they make hijrah to Madinah Tayyibah. It was no easy task. No small thing. This was a great worship, a great ibadah in the sight of Allah, worthy of earning one great thawab and reward. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the example of this great action. That person who carries out hijrah, he migrates for the sake of Allah, then he will get his thawab from the side of Allah. But that person who makes hijrah in order to obtain something from the dunya, meaning now his motive is no longer the pleasure of Allah, he has ulterior ulterior motives, there is some reason of this world that has now come as an intention of his. That his intention is now to obtain something from this world, or to get married to a certain woman, then his hijrah will be according to his intention. Meaning now his intention is flawed in terms of him earning thawab and reward in the court of Allah. It is not going to be there. Hence two people can be carrying out the same physical action, but their thawab and reward in the court of Allah can be extremely different. One can earn great thawab and reward and the other can be earning nothing, just based on a person's intention. The famous example, when two Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were conversing and they were speaking about their habits in standing up in Qiyamul Layl, in performing Tahajjud Salah. So Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he makes mention and he says, "Amma ana fa'akumu wa anam wa arju fi nawmati ma arju fi qawmati." He says, my habit is that I will stand up and perform Tahajjud Salah, but together with that I will also sleep. I will also take rest at night. I'm not standing up the entire night. وَأَرْجُوا فِي نَوْمَتِي مَا أَرْجُوا فِي قَوْمَتِي. But I have hope and anticipate thawab and reward from the court of Allah in my sleep, just as how I anticipate thawab and reward from Allah Ta'ala in performing Tahajjud Salah. Meaning my sleeping is done with that intention of getting that strength in order to worship Allah. Hence this simple action which is done by everyone also becomes an act of ibadah. Hence in our daily lives, our simple actions can be a means of earning great thawab and reward in the court of Allah. In fact, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes mention with a person going out to earn a living. He's going out to bring an income home to his family. Man talaba ad-dunya halalan. Man talaba ad-dunya halalan isti'afafan 'anil mas'alah wa sa'yan 'ala ahlihi wa ta'attufan 'ala jarihi laqiya Allah ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah wa wajhuhu kal-qamari laylat al-badr aw kama qala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that person who goes out to earn a halal living, but his intention is now to avoid begging from people, to avoid putting his hands before everyone hoping for a handout, his intention is also to see to his family needs and to look after his neighbors and those people around him. His intention is noble in the court of Allah. He is going out to earn a halal livelihood. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the person who comes out with this intention, on the day of Qiyamah, he will meet Allah, his face will be shining like the 14th moon. His face will be shining like the 14th moon. On the converse, man talaba ad-dunya halalan مكافرا مرائيا مفاخرا لقي الله تعالى يوم القيامة وهو عليه غضبان. That person who goes out to earn a halal living, he's not turning to haram avenues. He's going out to earn halal. He's engaged in halal, but now his intention is flawed. مكافرا مرائيا مفاخرا. I need to show others how much I got. I need to boast, it's now a competition. He got the latest car, I need to make sure I also get the same. I need to earn in order to keep up with my neighbor. I need to earn to get the best to show others what I got. Now it's about showing off. Now it's about boasting. Although he is earning halal, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this person on the day of Qiyamah will come before Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala will be angry with him. Allah Ta'ala will be angry with him. Why? What happened? His intention became flawed. The famous example in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the example of three people who will come on the day of Qiyamah. And these three people outwardly were engaged in good actions. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the first person to come will be a person who was martyred in the path of Allah. He gave his life for deen. He sacrificed for deen. However, on the day of Qiyamah, he will be brought before Allah, and Allah Ta'ala will remind him of his favors upon him, and he will acknowledge the favors of Allah Ta'ala upon him. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala will ask him, what have you done with my favors? He will say that I have sacrificed my life for your sake. I sacrificed my life in your path. Allah Ta'ala will reply, kadhabta. You're lying. You're speaking a lie. Imagine. At that time, a person is being questioned by Allah, and Allah Ta'ala is telling him, you are speaking a lie. You did this. You went out and you fought so that the people around you will tell you, you are such a brave person. What a great person you are. What a marvelous warrior you are. You did this, so then people will mention this. And they mentioned it about you. Hence that reward which you were hoping for people to call you these beautiful and big titles and names, you achieved it. Now what you want in this akhirah? Now what you expecting from us? Day after the command will be given, he will be dragged on his face and flung into the fire of Jahannam. The second person who will come was a person who learned the knowledge of deen, a person who was an alim, a person who was a qari. Again Allah Ta'ala will remind him of his favors. He will acknowledge it. He will say, what have you done? He say, I was teaching deen, I was reciting the Quran Majid, and I done this for your sake. Again the reply will come, kadhabta, you lying. You speaking a lie. You did it so that people will call you alim. You did it so that people will call you qari. You did it so that you can gain praises from people. This you had achieved in this world. Now there is nothing for you. Same result with him. Flung into the fire of Jahannam. The third person, a person who Allah Ta'ala blessed immensely with great amounts of wealth in this world. The different types of wealth he was blessed with, and he would spend it in the different avenues of good. He would be brought before Allah Ta'ala, again reminded of his favors, he would acknowledge it. And thereafter he would be asked, what did you do with my favors? He will say, I had spent in all these different causes in order to earn your pleasure. I had spent it in these different parts. The reply will come, kadhabta, you speaking a lie. You're lying. You did it so that people around you will see. And people around you will say, what a generous person this is. How he is spending so much. You did it for people. Hence in this world you are granted that what you had hoped for, you are given in this world. Now in the akhirah there is nothing for you. Again he will be flung into the fire of Jahannam. What happened? Outwardly engaging in good actions, but flawed with the intention. Hence Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, actions are judged according to intention. This is the first hadith Imam Abu Hanifa tells his son, that this is something which you need to keep in mind. Second hadith, al-halalu bayyinun wal-haramu bayyinun wa baynahuma umurun mushtabihat la ya'lamuhunna kathirun minan nas. Halal is something which is clear. Haram is something which is clear. And between that you are going to get grey areas. Areas which are grey according to us, according to majority of us. La ya'lamuhunna kathiru minanas. Majority of the people are not going to know, is this permissible or impermissible? What we understand from this hadith, that majority of us are not going to have that amount of knowledge of deen to decipher right from wrong. Hence it is incorrect for us to try and deduce directly from Quran and hadith our masail. We should be referring to ulama, those people who have been blessed with knowledge of deen, in order for them to show us what is right from wrong, what is halal from haram. لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فمن اتقى الشبهات استبرأ لدينه وعبده. That person who is going to stay away and keep away from doubtful areas, his deen and his honor will remain intact. He's going to keep his deen and honor intact by him staying away from doubtful areas. And that person who falls into doubtful areas, then eventually a time is come, it will come when he will fall into haram also. What we learn from this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what we mention in English, when in doubt, leave it out. When in doubt, leave it out. Do not fall into technical discussions. Maybe it's only makruh, it's not haram. What's the level of this? Then why are we being so rigid? Why are we being fundamentalist? Why are we being like this? Why are we being like that? No. This is the guidance from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in order for you to protect your deen, you need to stay away from doubtful areas. If it is a grey area, stay away from it completely. Whether in our actions, and especially when it comes to our monetary transactions, many, many different things are coming about in this world. Different ways in which a person can invest, different avenues in which a person can put his money. But before we do it, before we go into these different avenues, perhaps it may be online forex, perhaps it may be cryptocurrencies, perhaps it may be different things that are out there. Have we found out from the ulama, is this past? Is this halal? Is it permissible? or are we just going into it because everyone around us is making millions out of it? Are we being careful with regards to our deen, with regards to our income, with regards to what we expose ourselves to? Are we just going with what is happening in this world? The father of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, we all know the name of Imam Bukhari, he had such a great personality. It is mentioned with regards to his father, at the time when he was about to leave this world, he mentions to the person by his deathbed, and he says that by the qasam of Allah, I do not know from my wealth a single dirham from haram sources, nor from doubtful sources. This is how careful he was with regards to his income. And hence he saw the benefit of being careful in this way, in having a child like Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. So this is the second hadith. Al-halalu bayyinun wal-haramu bayyinun. Halal is clear, haram is clear. Between that there are those grey areas. We need to stay away from these doubtful areas in order to remain committed to deen, in order to keep our iman intact. This is the second hadith. Third hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that min husni islamil mar'i tadhkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the beauty of a person's Islam, he stays away from all those things that do not concern him. He stays away from all those things that do not concern him. In order for us to decipher what is this, if something is not going to benefit me in my deen, and it is not going to benefit me in my dunya, I will stay away from it. This is from the beauty of a person's deen. And if we look into the lives of the past, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, amongst others, we look at the amount of tilawat, for example, of Quran and Majid they used to make in the month of Ramadan. And we hear that they used to make 60 khatams a day. 60 khatams in the month of Ramadan, 2 khatams a day. How can a person achieve this, so much of Quran? But this had to do with looking after a person's time. And if a person stays away from all things that are futile, not benefiting you in deen, not benefiting you in dunya, then a person will be able to achieve this. Why he is looking after his time? There are so many different avenues in which our time goes to waste. We all know with regards to the cell phone, how much of time goes. A person wants to search for something, it will take him 5 minutes. He wants to get some information which will help him in his deen or help him in his dunya. And now 1 hour goes. Why? Because he was swiping away, and he forgot also why he even put his phone on. He didn't even get what he wanted to go, and he now became distracted. And now hours are going. At the end of it, he didn't benefit his deen, he didn't benefit his dunya. Our time in this world is our capital. In order for us to earn the pleasure of Allah, Hassan Basri rahimullah, he makes mention and he says, "The adraktu aqwaman." I met a group of people referring to Sahaba. Kana ahaduhum ashha ala umrihi minhu ala darahimhi wa dananirihi. I met a group of people who were more concerned of looking after their time than they were of looking after their wealth. Meaning, they could spare their wealth for you. If you needed wealth from them, they will part with it for you. However, if you're going to take away their time, and this time that you are going to take away is not going to bring any benefit, they're not willing to do this. Hence, we need to look after our time. And one very common avenue in which we're wasting our time is spending the time following our sports teams. People who are playing soccer, thousands of kilometers away, in belonging to a certain club, 90 minutes is going, they playing soccer, they're kicking a ball around, look at it. But we becoming so concerned, who's playing, who's winning, week after week, month after month, season after season. What benefit did it bring me? Any benefit in my deen? No. Any benefit in my dunya? Are they paying my rent? Are they helping me look after my business? Are they supporting me in any way? No. Is there any benefit in deen? No. Is there any benefit in dunya? No. What should be the behavior of a mu'min? Stay away from it completely. Even though those people who are playing have Muslim names also. Stay away from it. There is no benefit in it. Min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. Third hadith Imam Abu Hanifa mentions to his son. Fourth hadith Imam Abu Hanifa mentions is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al muslimu man salima al muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. A Muslim, a true Muslim, is he who other Muslims are safe from his tongue and safe from his hands. Meaning no physical harm, no verbal harm. A fellow Muslim is not supposed to be harmed by you. He is safe completely. Verbal harm, physical harm, emotional harm, psychological harm, whatever harm it may be, our Muslim brother supposed to be completely safe from us, whether it is the musalli in the masjid or whether it is our wives and children at home. Many a times people are complaining, a person is punctual in the masjid, you will find him in the first saf in salah, but the wife at home is being abused. There is abuse taking place at home. This is not the behavior of a mu'min. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. And the last hadith that he mentions to his son is that la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. None of you have perfect iman until you love for your Muslim brother what you love for yourself. Look at this beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of you have perfect iman until you love for your Muslim brother what you love for yourself. You want respect, you want honor, you want wealth and dignity. Hope this same for your Muslim brother. It should not be such when he goes through some difficulty, you are not there to pick him up, you are mocking him, you are ridiculing him, you are putting him more down. This is not the behavior of a mu'min. Whatever you wish for yourself, you wish for him as well. If we have to bring these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam alive in our lives, we will see prosperity, we will see honor and dignity and harmony amongst ourselves. There won't be jealousy, there won't be animosity, and they won't have these different fights and disputes among ourselves. May Allah ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of bringing alive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives in totality. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.